Welcome to another edition of Sea Control, your New Year's moment of PowerPoint rehab from the Center for International Maritime Security. Today, I discuss the last and next year of SIMSEC with Scott Cheney Peters, our Vice President and Director of External Relations. We are available on iTunes and Stitcher Stream Radio. We think Sea Control is a fine product, and anyone who says otherwise is a long-forgotten Soviet sleeper cell bent on destroying democracy. Report them to your local sheriff. Now, sit back and enjoy the show. Welcome to another edition of Sea Control, your moment of PowerPoint rehab from the Center for International Maritime Security. This is, as always, your host, Matt Hipple, Director of Next War, and the host of this here podcast. I'm joined today by our Vice President and Director of External Relations, Scott Cheney Peters. We've got a short podcast today. Our delightful announcer, as you've noticed, is gone. She's on vacation, so we won't interrupt her delightful trip to France to do our lovely daily introduction. And before we start, just a reminder, subscribe and rate 5 stars. We are available on iTunes and Stitcher Stream Radio, and at one point in time on Xbox Music, but they don't do Zune anymore, and hence, for Christmas, I had to break down and get myself an iPod, of which I am ashamed. So, Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, happy to be here. Happy to be, digesting all of the copious amounts of food that I consumed over the holiday period, and I'm sure you are in the same boat as well.
Yeah, I got asked by my girlfriend if my family had any Christmas traditions, and she's from Mexico. Mine was just eating. My uncle and I were both sitting on the couch, and I said, "Well, eating." And I looked at him, and he said, "Yeah, pretty much just eating." So that and a Christmas tree is pretty much.
I think that kind of crossed all the American holiday cultural experiences.
capped by just food.
Lots of food. Hibernation. I was up in North Dakota, where I'm originally from, and we were enjoying the negative 20 before wind chill factored in temperatures. So I feel it's at least appropriate to be thinking about putting on that extra warmth in that sort of environment. But
and it makes sense too. We're both from cold Midwestern regions, both of which we are like, oh man, this is awesome. This whole snow thing. No, I'm going to go join the Navy.
From the geographical center of North America to a coast and the ocean, etc. But anyway, so yeah, I think the goal for this edition is to keep things succinct so you can go back to that eating, cram those last bits of food
absolutely
into your mouths. So we're going to roll right into, this is kind of a recap of the year as well as a prospectus looking forward for the next year, just kind of taking a look at where we've come. And I just wondered if you wanted to kick things off talking a little bit about some of the things that you were excited about from this past year, some of our major accomplishments that you were particularly proud.
Well, this is appropriate because to get into what we've done is we started off last year with the Maritime Futures Project. A lot of writers got together and we did combination articles on what all their thoughts were on different topics. April Analysis Week, International Maritime Shipping Week, Strategic December. A lot on Africa, as luck has shifted in Africa towards instability, Sacred Cows Week, and one of my favorites, Chuck Hill, did Corvette Week. This is a really cool effort because he's not one of our official editors, and this is something we're trying to get the membership into. If you have a topic that you're interested in, is come to me or come to Scott or any one of the members of the leadership and ask, hey, can I run my own week? Corvette Week was his effort to talk about small boat operations in the green and brown waters, and that was one of the best run weeks of the year. I'm not
absolutely, yeah.
The most folks interested, the most writers. It turned out being a 2-week effort. It was a really impressive effort. Now, stuff that I'm looking forward to when it comes to the blog official. A lot of you may have heard we've got another Satire Week coming up. We have Private Military Contractors Week, and we have a deadly, deadly week on air-sea battle, which we will hope to control, shape, and maintain before it becomes an insane froth of comments by the Peanut Gallery, as we've seen in the public scape, folks arguing about air-sea battle. Other stuff that we're thinking about, Arctic Security Week, talking about China, a tech week. And USNI Proceedings is going to have an unmanned edition next year, and roundabouts when they come out with that, we'll do a drone tactics week. So we'll talk about unmanned systems, autonomous systems specifically, and those kinds of systems. And Scott, I'm sure you have – I know you had some thoughts on where we were going next week and maybe where some of these topics will go.
Yeah, so and this is a little bit broader than just the weeks that we're looking at doing mm-hmm. into the next year, but I just took a moment to write down some of my thoughts on the kind of ideas that have been floating around within the maritime security arena over the past year and the ones that are likely to continue into the next year. So I think some of these are also ripe for focusing and funneling into weeks on our site. But you know, I think we're going to continue to see sort of the debate over manned versus unmanned, what can become unmanned, as well as unmanned versus autonomous, what degree of autonomy we're going to be seeing within these unmanned vehicles. And just the, like you mentioned, the evolution of drone ops, drone tactics, et cetera. Somewhat tied into that, I think this has been on the side of a lot of these debates is sort of fleet experimentation and where does a lot of this experimentation take place? A little bit tied into some of these innovation debates that go on as well. But it's somewhat separate than that because a lot of people talk about the 20s and 30s as a time where because the U.S. wasn't doing as much with its sea power abroad, it had more opportunities to at home be experimenting with different tactics, different con ops. And there's been a lot of people talking about how can we capture this sort of, creativity and figuring out ways of, jamming the pieces of capabilities we have together in new and interesting combinations. I think air-sea battle is on a joint level, a degree of that. And I think one of the other things that's going to continue into the next year is misunderstanding of air-sea battle, but that's
aside. Which is why it is such a deadly debate to have on the website.
Yes,
I actually want to jump in on that. Two things that we've done this year that I think have been particularly rewarding is involvement with the folks of Project Athena and the CNO's Rapid Innovation Cell. We had our innovation podcast, and of course, our roots here at SimSec started with the 3D printing articles. That was sort of our first project back in the day. And being involved with these folks that are involved in that technical and organizational innovation is really rewarding. We've had absolutely. Lieutenant Dave Nobles on the Ben Fold is a great, great friend to SimSec and posts some stuff over on our blog. And his organization has their own blog as well, as does the Crick, and they have their own podcast as well, which you've been on and I'll be on soon. So these are some other assets to folks that are listening to our podcast here that they can go to and listen
Jeff
for.
Jeff Anderson, absolutely. Crick, his own Crick podcast, which I also definitely recommend checking out. Ben Coleman, who helps stand up the Crick, him with his disruptive thinkers, as well mm-hmm. as the Defense Entrepreneurs Forum, which you attended.
There's a whole ecosystem out there of informal connections and informal innovation where folks outside of the lifelines is the colloquial term we use in the Navy.
One thing that we've been lucky enough to do is that we've been having these cross-posting content sharing agreements with these other forums. So we try to bring a lot of the best of that content to our website in order that all of these different groups get the exposure, so nothing's kind of off in its own silo. But we still do recommend you check out those sites on their own. And I think there's another one at Annapolis now too, Innovators Initiative. So
that's true. And they will be having their own Defense Entrepreneurs Forum as well.
Yes, exactly.
Now, one of the things that'll be new for this year that was new for last year as well is this podcast. Started with the interview with Sam Bagwat, the CFO from Blue Seed, back when we did our seasteading articles back in 2012. And some great stuff for folks to listen to back in our archives is Admiral Harvey. He did a fantastic interview about his reflections on the Navy, his experience, and way that force planning will go in the future. We've done two Africa podcasts, both with James Bridger. The last podcast we did was with James Bridger and Zach Elkheim, and that was fantastic and unfortunately timely. It wasn't planned to coincide with the collapse of South Sudan into what looks like a civil war, but unfortunately, that was the case. So that one was very well done. They were two fantastic guests, and other folks that were partnering with the Neptune Group over at the Fletcher School, and we did a podcast with them. I always get them confused. I look for them online, and I keep typing Poseidon. I guess I'm more of a Roman guy than a Greek. Now, in the future, what we're going to be doing is you talked about air-sea battle. We've talked to TX Hams, Colonel TX Hams, and he is interested in coming on the podcast talking about Air-Sea Battle. So we'll be working that into his schedule. And I've also just talked to Captain Dan Moore, USN retired. He wants to do a series on the Navy and decision-making, talk about some Boyd concepts, and he wants to turn it into a monthly series. So that's going to be something we're probably going to start next week. So if you want to send me questions or post something on the blog in relation to that, let me know, because he'll be interested in hearing that.
Great, great. Yeah. So some of the other things that I'm looking forward to next year, you know, continuing expanding our membership. You know, if you're a listener and you're not a member, it's very easy to get onto our website and become one. It's completely free. It's just a very low barrier to entry. It just helps us to maintain contact with you, keep you abreast of any of the events we have coming up. We're up to about 200 members, and it's across the board from, you know, young enlisted sailors to retired four-star flag officers to people who are completely not associated with maritime security at all, just enjoy listening to, you know, some of the random things we have to say or read some of the random things we have to write. So maritime, industry, academics, all the way across the board. If you're interested, it's on our site. Free and 2 minutes to fill
Absolutely.
Out the form.
2 minutes. And then Chris Barber will send you some curt Marine-like email acknowledging your membership. And two, you know, it's interesting enough is I get to see these applications when they come in, so the leadership knows who's coming into the organization when Chris sends out his greeting email. And I find that even a learning experience, is the folks that are joining the group from their different backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of,
yeah.
It opens up my perspective of who's out there and who's interested.
Exactly.
And so I always enjoy reading those back, even the folks that don't plan on contributing. Because there are some folks, they say, hey, I'm just interested in being a member. I want to see the dialogue, but I want to stay in the background. Even those folks, they can contribute.
You know, just by being a member, so we know that, you know, people are interested in our work.
And this opens up opportunities for folks as well, because we're in a position now where folks recognize that our membership has certain expertise, and they'll come to us, they'll say, hey, we're looking to do a piece on the Arctic, or we're looking to do a piece on drones. Do you know of anyone? Can you recommend us some articles, or do you have any, as an organization, any comments? And that's given us the opportunity to point some of our membership in the direction of these folks, asking them if they want to get involved and giving them more opportunities. So it's a help me, help you, help me type situation. And have we seen it come to some good results? CNAS, Wired, The Diplomat, some different academic and government reports and other blogs have all cited us, which is both good for us and good for our writers. Great opportunities. It's not just, hey, we're looking out there for number one, for SimSec to get pushed forward. We want the debate to get pushed forward. And that's
Absolutely.
The best part, is seeing these ideas spread out to more locations and having them inspire other writers to get involved into the security dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, networking, like you were saying, is kind of a big benefit of being a member and being involved in this organization. You know, you can come onto our internal discussion group. I know a lot of people on our Facebook internal discussion group go on there, have a pretty lively debate over a wide variety of topics. You know, heads up about different events ongoing, different projects people are looking for partners to work on together. I think we actually just asked the members to throw us some questions, and I think the only one that really one or two that came up, one was about Duck Dynasty and whether we had an official SimSec stance on
our official stance was that we are for the shooting of ducks, both virtually if something like duck hunt, and in real life, and in real life the subsequent consumption of those ducks. That's our really only official stance on Duck Dynasty.
Yes, duck is delicious. That's the only official stance. But as far as the debate that was raging in the kind of culture war thing, there's no official SimSec position as to that aspect of it. So hopefully that answered the question from the peanut gallery there.
Exactly.
But going back to the networking aspect you'd mentioned, yeah, we have over 200 members now. We've got chapters being stood up. That's one of the other exciting things that I'm looking forward to over this next coming year. We've got some good infrastructure being put into place about supporting these chapter presidents beyond just DC, which I'm the chapter president of, and we have had pretty continuously over the past year and a half monthly events, and they've been very fun events, essentially a glorified happy hour But it's, again, been a good opportunity to meet people in the flesh, you know, just kind of kick back, share ideas, you know, talk about what people are working on. Our next one, if you're in the DC area and you're interested in coming out, is on January 22nd, and that'll be at the DC Chop House over in Gallery Place, Chinatown area. But if you're not in the DC area, we've got stuff starting up in Boston, in Norfolk, New Caledonia. We've got a chapter out there.
Oh, that's cool.
Out in San Diego and some other locations. So and look for those.
Yeah, if you're listening and you're in those areas, feel free to contact us. If you don't know who's organizing those events or you want to get involved or even organize your own event, there's a number of us in Norfolk, and we've kind of hung on to the DC group, jumping up there every once in a while. But there's enough of us that we can do our own events, and I'm going to be planning some of those. If you're listening and you're in Norfolk and you have some ideas, I know this will be inside baseball, but hey, Public House, if you live in Norfolk, you know what I'm talking about. That's pretty good. I like fried chicken that's battered and waffle. It really cuts out the middleman. Why have waffles and chicken when you can combine them both? In that vein, Scott, maybe you want to talk about some of the efforts we're making to partner with other organizations or increase that exposure to the same-sex debate.
Yeah, so another effort that I'm undertaking on behalf of my external relations position, I've been engaging with some of the academic and other organization partners that are out there, and we're looking forward to with groups like William and Mary and the Fletcher School up in Boston, working to, again, engage academics, especially some of these younger academics up and coming, and some of the more established ones, and, you know, just an exchange of ideas, getting them in touch with people who are, you know, in the field doing, you know, maritime security on a day-to-day basis, whether in the Navy, the Coast Guard, the shipping industry, or any of these other groups, and just trying to help facilitate the conversation, generate some creative ideas, and, you know, again, that sort of networking aspect of, you know, making the right connections so people can develop ideas that have a lot of experience and understanding behind them, as opposed to just, you know, throwing things out there because they have a deadline to make. Not that anybody's doing that, but, you know, we just want to try to make it an informed debate and discussion.
Exactly. Now, we were talking before the podcast. You have some new things. One, I know you're not going to mention it, but apparently you're going to have kids, so...
Thank you.
Congratulations. I was mentioning that Grant, our director of operations, was unable to join us. So we're doing this later in the day because you were at the Baby Gap, and that's or was it Babies R Us or something?
Babies R Us, yes.
Baby related. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm doing a baby play. So Grant isn't with us as usual, popping out, but this time because he has a family that's all grown up, and you we're doing this now at 3 because you have a family that is yet to be, but is on its way.
Yes.
So it's the holiday season and everybody's getting all familial and what have you. I'm a derelict.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm required to be back at my house. I couldn't spend all my time in Cleveland. but you've been accepted as a fellow to the Truman Security Group. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I was just very excited last week, found out that I applied for and had been accepted to the Truman National Security Project. And it's a D.C.-based organization that works to develop a broader understanding of national security and national security threats with you know, a lot of up-and-comers. So I was excited to be included in that organization going forward. And I know while most of our listeners here likely have a special interest in maritime security, with this fellowship, I'm hoping to engage a broader American public on the importance of sea power and the U.S. Navy. So that's kind of my particular interest, and just kind of excited to see where that new venture takes me.
And that's something I want to encourage the folks listening about, is we talk about maritime security, and a lot of times it is speaking to the choir. We were at one of the meetups, and I was very happy to see my friend Merrill there. And one of the things I liked about it is she is not a security person. She does not work in security. She does not study security. If Meryl's listening, I'm sorry, I don't know if you read about it. Maybe you do. I'm not going to make any comments either way. But seeing someone who was just interested engage was very heartwarming to me. But also, it's necessary for us to go out there and engage with other people. People maybe don't understand the importance or the nature of maritime security. So it's our job to go out there and engage with other people. We can't become an echo chamber. Even if it's a very fascinating echo chamber, it is upon us to get other people involved, which is a great reason you should go out and tell every single person you know about the Seek Control podcast and have them listen to it and leave 5 stars and comment on iTunes so that more people see us. If you've been looking at the Crick podcast, they're on the front page for government organizations, which is pretty great. That's the same category we are at. So congratulations to them. We are not on the front page. So more comments and more 5-star ratings and more subscribers will help us get to that front page and get us more exposure and more people with a wider experience engaged in this debate. Because remember, most of us may be maritime professionals, but there's a lot of input you can get from folks that don't do maritime security. Everything from cybersecurity to logistics to business, technology, politics. These things all lead into different aspects of maritime security because unlike the folks that do ground combat, ships and manifests and global commerce are very tech-oriented. It's very commerce-oriented. So there's a lot of that, a lot more than maybe is involved with the typical security debate that goes into ours. So you want to have those people engaging in this debate.
Absolutely. Hey, and just one more thing. I think we're getting to the end of this podcast, but I want to put a plug in for the holiday reading list that our new treasurer,
Brett Perry. Brett Perry. Another Georgetown guy. Just as a note, all three of us, Brett Perry, me, and Scott, are all Georgetown people.
Not that you have to be a Georgetown member. But
no, absolutely not.
You know, we're fully open to non-Georgetown people, and this is just complete coincidence.
Well, hey, that's not what I was saying.
I know.
I'm just holding it down for my city, as they say.
Exactly. Building upon contacts and meeting people that you come in contact with. That's how these things happen. But back to the original point is that our new treasurer graciously compiled a holiday reading list of all of the different things that some of our members are currently reading or recommend reading if you're looking for something to do. So that's up on our website now, as well as I just put up a piece yesterday. If you haven't been paying attention, if you've just been spending the last week hibernating like you should have been doing, there's been some further developments out in East Asia, which have just continued to show how tumultuous that part of the world can be and how important. Despite how economically important that part of the world is for us, how it's not always clear what's going to happen in the future. So you can check both of those out.
Great, great example of that in particular is we talk about the ADIZ, the Air Defense Identification Zone. We had a whole podcast where we talk about it. And then now all of a sudden, Kim Jong-un gets drunk and executes a whole bunch of people. So now the security concern becomes, well, okay, escalation in the East China Sea is kind of important, but oh, wow, somebody actually managed to get drunk and use that to execute 3 people. That's horrifying. So it becomes a question of, well, what's the next step? There are standard protocols that we follow as security thinkers, and then there's the black swans, if you've unknown unknowns that go completely insane, and hey, North Korea could be one of those. So we can make all these plans here on this podcast about what we're going to talk about, but who knows what the next year will bring.
Anything, any parting words, Mr. Hipple?
Hey, all I've got is to follow us on Twitter at @SimSec, C-I-M-S-E-C, and to, of course, visit our webpage, which if you're listening to this podcast, you must have done, but I'm going to say it for due diligence anyways, is www.simsec.org. If you haven't been there and are listening to the podcast, thank you. I don't know how you found out about us, but hey, that works for me.
Maybe you just started typing in random letters. It's possible.
Random letters, right. An infinite number of monkeys given an infinite amount of time will eventually find Shakespeare. So, hey, okay.
Maybe you just started misspelling simulator or something
like that. Yeah, exactly. Something, who knows.
Yeah.
And of course, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say my parting word was going to be as well Satire Week. Like Mr. Yes. Hipple mentioned, we've got our next week of focused analysis is going to be round 2 of our International Maritime Satire Week. Mm-hmm. Essentially, stories in the style of The Onion, if you are familiar with that.
With the Duffel blog, as it
yes.
were.
And we didn't copy the Duffel blog. I just want to point that out. We did look at, and they were pretty funny when they started, but there was a dearth of anything maritime related.
Exactly.
It was all Air Force, it was all Army kind of stuff,
to be fair,
Afghanistan.
Particularly in the case of the Air Force, they give you far more material to talk about.
So anything maritime related, you think you might be a little bit funny, just shoot us an email.
I like that's a challenge. You think you might be a little bit funny. In fact, I think one of our top articles is still the 10th, 11th season of Deadliest Catch.
Yeah,
it's going to be the Navy in the Arctic or something like that.
Yeah, one of the most read articles. So we had, I think 300,000 views over the past year and a half or so, and a good several 10,000 maybe were for one particular article on the 9th season of The Deadliest Catch was going to film in the South China Sea, which...
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yes, just went viral as an article, and even got the actual producer commented on the article saying it was some... Seriously, funny shit. So it was a good time. Yeah.
which is still amazing, which means we need to up our game, because our most viewed article has nothing to do with maritime analysis. But hey, it's quality over quantity. But in the words of the barbarian Joe Stalin, quantity has a quality all on its own. Any last comments, Scott?
No. I'm just going to go eat some more.
Oh, good, and then pass out. Yes. All right, folks. Well, thanks for joining us for this mini podcast. I hope to hear from you next week. Next week is going to be with Dan Moore talking about breakout naval leadership and Boyd and the decision-making process, and that'll be an ongoing series. So if you haven't followed us on Twitter, please do so. If you haven't subscribed on iTunes or Stitcher Stream Radio, please do so. And if you've got any ideas or comments, shoot them my way. Thanks, everybody, for listening.